Welcome to Tools and Techniques in 10, brought to you by The Green Binder, Tools and Techniques for Teaching. Before we begin, I'll give you a list of phrases, and I want you to make notes of the thoughts or images that pop into your head. We'll then revisit your reactions at the end of this training. A student who is good in math. A student who is good in English. An English language learner. A student from a single parent home. The school bully. A student living in poverty. A hard-working student. A lazy student. A student with a learning disability. A troublemaker. An honor roll student. The class clown. As educators, we tend to think that we inherently treat all students fairly. I've heard many white teachers state that they don't see color in an effort to express the fact that they aren't racist and denounce prejudice practices. But we must remember that our background knowledge and experiences shape who we are. Our reactions to and understandings of others, and trying to ignore differences only exacerbates the problems related to bias in education. Also worth noting is that teachers tend to show favoritism towards students who reflect them, and the majority of teachers are white and female. So monitoring implicit biases is essential to ensuring all students are treated fairly. I'm Dr. Lewis, and today we'll be reflecting on hidden biases that we may have and learn methods to monitor our biases. Prior to working with students who come from different backgrounds than our own, it is essential to complete a self-reflection to identify how our background knowledge and life experiences contribute to how we view others in order to recognize how those factors could affect the way we educate our students. So, we'll begin by looking at what an unconscious educational bias is. I define unconscious educational bias as treating students differently without realizing that you are doing so. Keep in mind, your biases can positively or negatively affect students. The common forms that I have seen in education include bias based on gender, culture, race, disability, and language. Some examples of gender bias that you should be made aware of are boys being considered good in math and science and girls good in English. This leads to students being questioned and challenged differently in these subjects. There have been many studies conducted that show teachers also grade students differently based on these expectations. Another gender bias commonly observed is boys being seen as naturally more hyper and rowdier than girls, so teachers show less patience when boys disrupt class than when girls do, giving them harsher consequences for their disruptions. To reduce the effects of gender bias in your classroom, you could use rubrics to grade work and monitor discipline practices, and also use tally marks or popsicle sticks to monitor the participation of boys and girls in your class. Examples of cultural bias in the classroom include expecting students to look you in the eye when they are being reprimanded because you consider it disrespectful not to. However, in some cultures, it's considered disrespectful to look adults in the eye when being corrected, as it is seen as challenging the adult's authority. Another example of cultural bias that has been seen in schools is choosing classroom materials that feature ideas and characters from the white culture. it is essential to have materials that cover diverse views in order to reach all students and so students can develop an understanding and tolerance of people different than themselves. Racial bias can involve having lower expectations of students based on their race. Sometimes teachers think that black and brown students are not as smart as students from white and oriental races, so they don't have high expectations for their academic performance. Teachers with this internal bias tend to challenge these students less and put less time and effort into helping these students. This can lead to students having lowered self-expectations, increased frustration, and performing below their potential. Racial bias is also seen when disciplining students. Black students tend to disproportionately receive harsher consequences for the same behaviors as white students. To monitor racial bias in discipline practices, it's essential to have a standard set of rules and consequences spelled out in a code of conduct and follow the code to ensure consequences are equitable. A student survey can also be given to receive feedback on how students view your class, or you can video yourself teaching and use a bias guide to help you reflect on and improve your practices when working with students different than you. Teachers with disability bias sometimes attempt to treat students with disabilities the same as all other students because they appear to be fine to them. The teacher sometimes won't shorten assignments or give extended time to the student without considering the fact that the parents might be working for hours with the student after school. Additionally, some teachers expect the student to remind them of their accommodations because they have too many other things to keep up with, or so they can help the student be more responsible for their learning. Keep in mind that students have been thoroughly analyzed by a group of professionals, and it has been determined that they need the accommodations as specified. Teachers with disability bias also may believe that students with behavior accommodations can control their behaviors, and so they will have the same expectations and consequences for students with behavior disabilities as they do for students without accommodations. Teachers sometimes believe that we should treat all students the same. It's essential to remember that it is not about treating all students the same, it's about giving students what they need in order to be successful. A behavior guide can be used to monitor student behaviors. Due to the increasing diversity within classrooms, the manner in which students speak is also changing. Students' native languages, accents, dialects, and the manner in which they express themselves is also becoming more diverse. Teachers with language bias many times expect students to speak the same as they do and show favoritism toward these students. Students who speak differently than what is considered traditional or proper is viewed as less intelligent, and these students are often corrected, which leads to them having lowered self-esteem and decreases the chances of them speaking and participating in class in the future. So, what do we as educators do when a student speaks differently than we do? First and foremost, we should respect the student's language and realize that just because we speak in ways that have historically been deemed acceptable, that does not mean that we are right and they are wrong. Different is just that, different. Two questions I always ask myself are these: is their message being relayed, and is the manner in which they are speaking hindering them from successfully processing the concept? If not, then you know that it's not essential to respond to the student regarding his or her language. However, it's also essential to teach students different ways of speaking in order to equip students with the tools necessary to effectively and respectfully communicate in diverse settings. But these lessons should be taught on their own as a part of their own standards within the curriculum. Now I want you to look back at the list of responses you wrote on the self-reflection sheet at the beginning of this training. Based on what you have learned, were unconscious biases involved in your reactions? Which ones? What can you do to monitor your biases in the future? Most teachers desire to be fair, however, they are unsure where to start. I've developed 5 questions that you can reflect on to regularly monitor your unconscious biases. Number 1, does the student remind you of yourself or your childhood? 2, does the student remind you of a family member? 3, does working with the student remind you of any past interactions you've had, including with other students? 4, do you have positive or negative feelings associated with those people or experiences? and 5, is the way you interact with the student a result of those feelings and memories, or is the way you treat the student directly related to the student's behaviors and actions? Think back to a time you had difficulties working with a student. Using the reflection questions just discussed, reflect on whether the difficulties were based on the student's actions, your hidden biases, or a mixture of both. What, if anything, could you have done differently? Thank you for participating, and we'll see you next time. All forms can be found in the Resources tab of our website, www.thegreenbinder.com. If you would like the Green Binder to facilitate a training on hidden biases in your school or district, please contact us, and someone from our team will get back with you within 5 business days.